Well, good morning. And I am indeed so thankful to be here this morning at the Grace Chapel Primitive Baptist Church in Meridianville, Alabama. Thankful for the opportunity to be here and worship the Lord with you. And Kim and Bella send their greetings to all of you. And they love you as much as I do. And they are praying for us even now. And I pray that the minister that's filling in for me, Brother Jacob Yawn, pray for him too. Now, before I go into the Word of God, as you know, I'm going to try to sing an old gospel favorite. I believe it'll go along with the message, Learning to Lean. Being my helper, I'm going to try to bring a few thoughts this morning that concern our theme for our Tri-States Youth Camp this week at Tri-States Camp. Our camp theme this year is Victory Over Conflict. And the theme verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. And the whole entire chapter, as you may remember, concerns the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that there were many in that day who were denying the resurrection. And he said earlier in the chapter, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we would then be of all men most miserable. That's back in verse 19. 50 through 57. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And here is our theme, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we're so thankful to be in your house of worship on this Lord's Day. I pray now that your Spirit may overwhelm our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, that we may feel your holy presence working in our lives as we worship you in this hour of worship. And then, Father, as we leave the house of worship and go forth in the further scenes of this Lord's Day and into this week, I do pray for our Tri-States camp this week as we go to youth camp, that you'll be with us there. Pray, Lord, for safe travels for everyone traveling up to the camp. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just overshadow us and help us to learn more about Jesus and how we can overcome conflict in our lives. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, of course, here in the context of verse 57, he's primarily referring here, of course, thanking the Lord who gives us victory through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the context of the chapter, Jesus, of course, rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, never to die ever again. And he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me, having been seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And so we have ultimate victory. Jesus has already won the war. The war on sin, and that's where conflict comes from. Conflict originates in our sin nature and in our practice of sin on a daily basis. Praise God that Jesus has already been victorious over death, hell, and the grave and sin. But yet, why do we still have conflict in our lives today? Well, it is because that we are still living inside a corrupt body. The bodies in which we dwell are still fallen in sin. Although, as a child of God, we do have the Spirit of God living in us, yet we still have the sinful nature to contend with, and that is the origin of all conflict that we face. Now, this week at our youth camp, we're going to be looking at two kinds of conflict. We're going to be looking at internal conflict and external conflict. So first of all, before we do that, I want to again reemphasize what causes conflict. Number one, well, what is conflict? I think we all know what conflict is. Conflict is when we are at variance with another. And our first conflict was actually with God Himself, was it not? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that our first conflict is with God Himself. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Notice it there in Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the here it is, look in verse 7 of Romans 8. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Our first conflict is with God Himself. When Adam and Eve fell in sin in the Garden of Eden, it first caused that conflict between us and God. The carnal mind is at odds against God, or it is in conflict with God Himself. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, that's true in two different senses. Number one, being in the flesh, not pleasing God, is certainly always true of all of those that are not God's children. Those that are not of God's elect children, all they have is the carnal mind. They don't have the Spirit of God indwelled in their heart. And so they are continually at odds with God. But we who have the Spirit, we have a conflict. We have an internal conflict between our carnal flesh and the Spirit of God who dwells in us. When we mind the things of the flesh, we are literally at odds with God. Those are the times when we are not dwelling in the kingdom of heaven here in this world, here in this earth. The kingdom of heaven, or a kingdom of God, is the spiritual realm that we have the privilege of entering into while we live in this life. But if we are minding the things of the flesh, we are living in conflict with God. So our first conflict came in the fall of man, in the Garden of Eden, and that is the origin of all conflict in our lives. First and foremost, with God Himself. But then we also know, we're going to look first of all at internal conflict, and you see some of it even in the passage that I just read. But if you look in Romans chapter 7, prior here, the previous chapter, beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7, Paul describes an internal conflict that he experienced as a born-again child of God. Well, first he says in Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." The law that God gave Israel in the Old Testament through His servant Moses, it was a good law. There was nothing wrong with it. The thing that was wrong is that no man was able to keep it. That was the problem. And that was the point of the law. Knowing and realizing that the law of the Old Testament, no mortal man could ever keep it. The only one who did is the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ. So he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and I am sold under sin. First, through the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, all of mankind at that moment in time, we're all sold into the slave market of sin. We are in bondage to sin, and the wages of sin is death. We are carnal, sold under sin. In verse 15, Paul says, "For that which I do, I allow not." That is internal conflict. There is a conflict in our own heart, mind, and soul, that is a battle, an internal battle that rages in our life every day. Now remember this, the Apostle John in 1 John said this, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Jesus, who lives in your heart and mind, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is greater than the old devil. He's greater than sin. His grace is greater than your sin. We have a hymn about that in our hymns of grace. Grace that is greater than my sin. So he says, "That which I do, I allow not." Those things that are not good, I do those things that are not good. I don't want to do them sometimes, but I do them anyway. For what I would, that I do not. What's good and what's right that I want to do, I often don't do it. But what I hate, that I do. Now, that is a great conflict, isn't it? "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good," that the law of God is good. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." My sinful nature, yielding to my sinful nature, that's where it comes from. And he says in the next verse, look at 18, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, in the carnal flesh, "dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing good in my carnal flesh. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." We cannot do anything pleasing unto the Lord in our carnal flesh. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." I know we all experience this conflict in our lives. Now, if I do that that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but again he says, it's sin that dwells in me. It is my sin nature. So he says, "I find then a law or a rule that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Of course it is. When we are walking in the ways of the Lord, when we are in the kingdom of heaven, we are continually surrounded, first of all, with our own carnal nature, but then also with those external forces of the devil and his minions and the world in which we live. Evil is always present with us. "For I delight in the law of God," how? "After the inward man." And the inward man is none other than Christ who lives in us, who is our hope of glory, that Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our ultimate hope is that we are going to be glorified, body, soul, and spirit, when Jesus returns to take us home. But then he says, "O wretched man," 23, "for I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members." He says, "O wretched man that I am." Now, it is really a good thing when we realize how wretched we are. If we don't have a sense of how sinful we are, then we're really in trouble. We are really, really in trouble. If we don't see ourselves as sinners, if we see ourselves as better than most people, "I don't commit murder, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't run with those who do," as the old saying used to be. I'm a pretty good old guy or gal. But no, we're wretch. You know, John Newton saw how wretched he was in Amazing Grace. Oh, wretch that saved a wretch like me. Who shall deliver me from what? The body of this death. The fallen carnal flesh, that's where it originates. And he says then in verse 25, I thank God, just like 1 Corinthians 15:57, we thank God who gives us the victory. I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. We could say who gives us the victory even here, right? So then with the mind, the carnal mind, the spiritual mind, with, you know, the mind of Christ, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, we serve the law of sin. So we have this internal battle that goes on every day. But the key is to remember to yield to the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, because He's greater than our sin. He's greater than our sin. His grace is greater than our sin. And so yielding to the Spirit, putting on the new man that Paul says in Romans chapter 4, he says to put on the new man who is renewed in righteousness and holiness after the image of Him who created him in us. But then, we also face every day external conflict in our lives that comes from the sinful world in which we live and also from the devil himself. It ultimately comes from the devil himself. But if you look in James chapter 4, James chapter 4, the first four verses, James chapter 4, 1 through 4. James asks these questions. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That is external conflict. What is the source even of the external conflict? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Our internal conflict spills over into external conflict. Does it not? It does. I know it does. If I'm falling into sin, most likely it's not just me, or it's not just affecting me, but it's affecting those around me. And it's causing conflict with those around me. But there are also those external forces that come against our mind. So it does work both ways. We can often be a bad influence through our own sinful actions on others, and vice versa. The sinful actions of those around us can also be a bad influence on us. So it's a double-edged sword. Where do these conflicts come from? It comes from our lusts that war in our members, our fallen sinful nature. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That sounds like pride and selfishness to me. Ultimately, I believe that conflict within ourselves and among others has a root cause in selfishness and pride. Because we want things our way. We want it our way. And so, we find here then, he says, in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. There's that word enmity. We are at odds with God when we are friends with the sinful world we live in. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We cannot hold hands with the world and walk with God at the same time. You know, the slogan is, I can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Well, not with God in the world, you can't do it. You know, Jesus himself taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you cannot serve both God and mammon, or the world and riches. The two can have to be mutually exclusive. If I'm a friend of the world, now that means that I'm complicit with the world, a friend of the world. Now, I often keep these things separated in my thoughts and mind. Yes, remember we're in the world, but not of the world. Now, we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world and not be the friend of the world and not be complicit in the world. And that's how we're to live the Christian life. But if we're the friend of the world, we are an enemy of God. Now, child of God, we as His children, we ourselves can become His enemies when we are a friend of the world. So we see that internal conflict between the flesh and the spirit spills over into external conflict. And then both of them feed off of each other, don't they? The more we have internal conflict, it's going to cause more external. Vice versa. That conflict is continual. Why? You know, Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus has won the war. But yet we know the famous verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 where Peter says this. Right after James, we have Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And too often, the old devil, at certain times in our lives, he has devoured us. He has devoured our witness for God. He has devoured... Now let me say it this way. I want to be careful because we all know the devil made me do it, just won't do. Right? The devil made me do it, just won't do. You know, Flip Wilson was not right about it. He entices us though. He tempts us. But yet, it is we ourselves who yield to that temptation. But yet, he does walk about like that roaring lion seeking whom he devours us when we yield to his temptation. But he says, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions and conflicts as well are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist the devil. In James, back in chapter 4 of James, notice this, beginning in verses 5 through 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy, but He giveth more grace? Grace that's greater than my sin. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We talked about that in our Bible study lesson. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think resisting the devil comes through submitting ourselves to God. When we yield ourselves to God, we're not yielding ourselves to the devil, are we? And then verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he, God, will draw nigh to you. Now that's a conditional promise. As we draw closer to him, seeking his presence in our lives, he becomes closer to us, and we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Mourn over your sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he then shall lift you up. That's the keys that we have to overcoming conflict in our own heart and with one another through humility. You know, esteeming others better than ourselves. See, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Why not? Because it causes conflict. It causes conflict when we talk badly about one another. Have we ever been guilty of whispering behind people's backs to other people? You know what they're doing, or you know what they've done or haven't done. It causes conflict. He that speaks evil speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother. He's speaking evil of the law of God. He's judging the law of God. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. So who art thou that judgest another in that way? Ungodly judgment causes conflict, doesn't it? So next, how do we overcome this conflict? Well, I've already said, 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Another scripture, how do we overcome internal conflict? Galatians chapter 5. How do we overcome it? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. How do I overcome internal conflict? Galatians 5:16. Paul said it this way. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's easy to preach, but hard to live. Easy to preach, but hard to live. It's easy. Just walk in the Spirit. But it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Many times, isn't it? He talks about that conflict there in verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's the source of that conflict. But if you be led of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he tells us about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And then you drop down to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us then also what? Walk in the Spirit. That's the key to overcoming conflict. And I would say internal and external. Now, how do we respond to conflict? Do we respond to conflict with more conflict? Often we do, don't we? But Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. Well, let me back up verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not return conflict with more carnal conflict. Why not? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not to be fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. It is the spiritual armor of God, if you talk about that, over in Ephesians chapter 6. But then verse 5 there, he says, casting down imaginations in our own heart and mind, and every high thing, pride, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where there's a key. We do not respond to conflict with more carnal conflict. But what are we to do? We are to put on the whole armor of God, as Paul describes it there in Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to briefly bring a couple of few thoughts right there. Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we wrestle not, we don't war. Our conflict is really and truly not against flesh and blood. Although it seems to be, it's not really. But it's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil and his demons desire conflict as much as possible. But when we put on that whole armor of God, we do it that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. And done all to stand. So we put on that armor, our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are our defenses against conflict, internal and external. And then look, finally, last but not least, prayer. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All these things, our first response should be to pray. Say, Lord, help me not to yield to the flesh, but rather to your Spirit. Praying. So I pray that we will do these things in our lives. And I pray that as we go to youth camp, that these things will be on our hearts and minds this week, is my prayer for Christ's sake.